Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and we are celebrating Smutmas. It's a new thing. We're starting it. It's a thing now. So happy holiday. Happy Smutmas to you. Today, you get not one, not two, but three gifts. This is a three-part episode with brand new, amazing original content created just for your ears. We're going to start off with a piece from a guest you might remember previously on the podcast, Cameron Moore. She talked to us about her show Phone Whore and her work as a phone sex operator. And she's prepared for you, your first gift, a delightful piece of original smut that she created in 12 minutes. And just wants to let you know that it was written on a typewriter, like all of her smut. And there was only one draft. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this original piece from Cameron Moore.
The heat of the holiday party drives the three of you outside. The heat from the fire and a decent amount of mulled wine and the little spark that seems to zap among you with the flash and tease that no one else around the tree seemed to see. Your girlfriend winked at him, unbuttoned that tight sweater one more button, then turned her attention to you as she uncrossed and recrossed her legs again, skirt riding high for a moment, flash of thigh, hell, flash of holy shit, she's not wearing any underwear. All of this sent you outdoors like rockets. When everyone else had gathered around the piano for badly sung Christmas carols, you slipped out, opened your mouths to eat falling snow, and lobbed snowballs at one another closer and closer until you were on top of her, squirming like puppies. She was actually yelping, too. He had managed to get a handful of snow down her sweater. Even in the dim streetlight, you could see the small, shadowy peaks forming. Her wide eyes tracked both of you, or tried to, but he had slipped around behind her, kneeling in the snow, pinning her hands behind her, alternating laughs and nibbles along her ear. She began to laugh, too, a little ticklish, especially as you slid your cold fingers up the inside of her thighs. But she stopped laughing with the first touch of your tongue to her clit. Stopped laughing, stopped squirming, just lay there under your four hands, frozen except for the gentlest quiver in her core and the heaving of her chest as she gasped for breath in the crystalline night.
Oh my. Well, that is how you celebrate Smutmas. So again, that was Cameron Moore. She's an award-winning playwright and performer, and she's got a bunch of solo shows. Again, we talked to her about Phone Whore. We're definitely going to have her back soon. And she travels around all over North America and the UK, and she has tours coming up in 2015. So you definitely should consider checking it out if she comes to your city. She's also been on Comedy Central and who knows how many people's vacation Flickr sets. So you can find her pretty much anytime you want to at CameronMoore.com. That's CameronMoore. So CameronMoore.com if you want to check out more of her custom erotica. So thank you, Cameron, for that lovely Smutmas gift. So here comes your second gift. This is straight from the Yulnag Holiday Music Collective out of Astoria, New York. This is some filthy Christmas music for your ears. So these are from the Yulnag collection. Every year they come out with these amazing albums of ridiculous, scandalous filthiness. And you can definitely check out more of their music. Hotcuprecords.com, and it's available on iTunes as well from the Yulnag Collective. So the first song you're going to hear is called Naughty List, followed by Santa, Do You Like That Booty? So sit back, again, relax, and enjoy some filthy holiday tunes courtesy the Yulnag Holiday Music Collective.
The holidays come once a year, but they just leave me blue. 'Cause Santa, you know, there's just one gift that I want from you. I want something festive, something hot, something quite progressive. I should spend the holidays getting laid, but I need your assistance in a biblical way. Give me a naughty list, show me where to sign. I want a gift that makes me come multiple times. Oh Santa, I want a sex toy for Christmas. Wrap it up with a bow, I'll show you where it goes. Makes me soak right through my winter clothes. Oh Santa, I want a sex toy for Christmas. A sweater is a thoughtful gift, but it is just too tame. It cannot shake my holly wreath or make me scream your name. Is it leather? Is it hard? Is it ribbed for pleasure? I want to deck my halls with Benoit balls. Oh, can't you hear my mating call? Give me your naughty list, show me where to sign. I want a gift that makes me come multiple times. Oh Santa, I want a sex toy for Christmas. Wrap it in shiny foil, rub it with baby oil. You can spank me hard if I get too spoiled. Oh Santa, I want a sex toy for Christmas. Santa, you're a grown man, you know how this thing goes. You know it's not those candy canes that make you ho-ho-oh. Mrs. Claus should have tipped you off to what the ladies really want. Save the sleigh ride for a rainy day. Bring a double dildo, we can both get laid. A Sibian machine is nice, it really make me scream. Bring on the studs and gags, whips and ice, to grant my Christmas dreams. Whip it out and stick it in, don't make me beg and pout. We can suck and blow, you can fuck my toes, I'll rub your baby Jesus till the eggnog flows. Give me your naughty list, show me where to sign. I want a gift that makes me come multiple times. Oh Santa, I want a sex toy for Christmas. When I said baby Jesus, I meant your schlong. But if I can't have that, I won't have to wait long. Thanks Santa, I got a sex toy for Christmas. It's so nice. Oh Santa, I got a sex toy for Christmas. I came twice. Yeah, Santa, I got a sex toy for Christmas.
And now, if you'll excuse me.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Have you been naughty?
Yeah.
Santa, I done left out some cookies and milk for you to eat. But if you're still hungry, I can give you something that's sweet. I've been a naughty girl, Santa, but you've been a very good boy. So let me shake it on you, Santa, just like I was a wind-up toy. I'm gonna put on lingerie and a special Christmas thong. Shawty, I wanna see you in your red pointed hat with nothing else on. Yeah. I know you got a lady, but tonight you don't have to be true. Just sit down in this chair and let me give a lap dance to you. Before you you go checking that list and checking it twice. Let me back this thing up on you and give you what you like.
I'd like to stuff your stocking.
So saddle up, grab the reins, and get ready to go. Cause tonight I'm gonna be your ho ho ho. Santa, do you like that booty? That booty, that booty. Go ahead, Santa, smack that booty. That booty, that booty. So come and Santa, lay down and turn off the lights. And let's let some noise out into this silent night. I know I've been naughty, but I want more than a sack of coal. Let me work it all up and down on your North Pole. Cause I don't care, Santa, if it's wrong or right. Ooh, but Santa, will you slide down my chimney tonight? Do you like that booty, that booty, that booty? Go ahead, Santa, smack that booty, that booty, that booty.
Have a seat on Santa's knee and tell me what you'd like for Christmas.
Yeah.
Why don't you elves take five for a moment?
Cause Christmas is a celebration, so don't be moody. I've got just one question, Santa, do you like that booty? Santa, do you like that booty? That booty? That booty?
Santa, do you like that booty? That booty. Santa sure likes that booty. That booty. That booty.
Yeah.
Ho ho ho.
Shorty.
Ho. It is a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
A Merry Christmas indeed. Santa, do you like that booty? That booty. Santa, do you like that booty? That booty. Santa, do you like that booty?
Are you ready for your third and final Smutmas gifts? I hope so, because this one is just delightful. We've got an interview for you with Sharon Summers. She's the founder of ClimaxConnection.com, and she's an erotic audiophile. She writes erotic short stories and does some sexy talk for her own enjoyment and for yours. So, again, sit back, relax, and enjoy this terribly delightful conversation, which also includes a little bonus story for you. Again, Sharon Summers. Welcome to Sex with Timmery. This is Dr. Timmery, and I am really excited to talk to our next guest. Today is going to be a lot of fun. It's not only going to be interview, but you're going to be getting, like, some tastes, like a few samples of some delightful audio that you are going to really enjoy. It's going to be a little even less safe for work than normal, possibly, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I am very excited to introduce to you Sharon Summers. How are you doing?
I'm just fine. Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. I am looking forward to this. So you came across our radar because you're the founder of Climax Connection.
Yes.
What is that?
It is a free adult community website for people that are looking for masturbation partners.
Right.
If they want to go into our chat rooms, if they're looking for free phone sex, cam sex, or cyber sex partners, or just some fun flirty adult chat in the chat rooms, or if they enjoy writing or reading erotic short stories, or making audios of their sex sounds, or listening to those of others, it's a very masturbatory masturbation positive website where people go there not only to look for partners to masturbate with, but even if they're not into that, if they're just into the solo masturbation, they can just read one of the sexy stories, listen to the audios, or just chat with people. It doesn't have to be sexual chat. Lots of the stuff that goes on in the main chat room is not sexual. It is very funny a lot of the time, talking about current events, entertainment stuff, all kinds of things.
That is really interesting to me, because like that seems like a thing that, like, when there's a website for something else, like some sort of, like, you know, current events thing, for instance, mm-hmm. it's going to eventually devolve into like some sort of like sexy thing, I feel like. And then meanwhile, in the sexy side, or like I've talked to a few cam girls who are like, we end up talking about politics, you know, and
it's like, politics are discussed. They yeah. are.
We just like, we're like, you know, we want to compartmentalize, but still ultimately all this stuff, anything that's interesting to us, anything that gets us excited, we're going to end up mixing it all together. So mm-hmm. that's how we end up doing. So why this site? Why this particular place where everybody can do all of these different things together? Were you thinking that, you know, they were too disparate, that all of these things were too separated? What inspired you?
Well, I am a professional phone sex operator for the last just over 6 years. And shortly after beginning it as a career, a few months later, I started to try it personally, because most operators are not masturbating on calls with clients. Sorry to burst your bubble, guys. It's business. We're there to entertain the guys. We're there to help. We're like little sexual humanitarians. So a few months after I started doing this professionally, I thought, you know, it does sound like fun. I don't want to do it with these guys that are clients, but I would be interested in trying this with people of my own choosing. So I started to look online, where do I find these people to have fun with on my own time for free? And so I started finding these adult chat rooms. And unfortunately, I was quite disappointed in them. A lot of them had very glitchy chat software that was down as much as it was up. They had absentee owners that didn't seem to really care about the sites. The sites were very cheap and tacky looking for the most part. And I thought, there has to be a better site, one that's done properly, one that's done by an owner that's very involved, that cares. And I think it could be a great meeting place for people that like quality. I'm aiming for the higher caliber perverts online. I don't want the knuckle-dragging, horny people that are just looking to get off in 2 seconds. I want people that appreciate quality, that appreciate a non-glitchy site, that appreciate a site where rules are enforced to make it enjoyable for everyone, where trolling is not permitted. Cam girls and other phone sex operators are banned immediately. It's not there for people to get clients. It's there for people to have fun for free and enjoy each other. And I was not happy, like I said, with the sites that I saw. And I came up with a list of all the features that I wanted the site to have that I myself could not find. And then I set about planning and getting a web developer to help me create it.
So since you do the work that, like, the phone sex operation stuff that is specifically banned from the site, are yes. you worried about this cutting into your own business? Are you worried about...
No, it's not absolutely gonna hurt you? Not.
Okay.
Some people that don't understand the phone sex business have asked me that. They say, well, okay. how can you do it as a job and yet you give it away for free to these guys that you play with and you have this site for free people? If you were an operator for one night, you would quickly realize, if you'd ever had personal phone sex, mm-hmm. guys that are looking for paid calls are not going to find what they want in a chat room. Mm-hmm. Most guys looking for paid stuff are looking for fetish. You're not going to find some girl for free in a chat room that is well-versed on racial humiliation, small penis humiliation, mm-hmm. cock and ball torture, quicksand fetish, all of these bizarre fetishes that a lot of guys call for. And they want somebody that's experienced, that has the knowledge to deal with such a call in a professional manner. And by the same token, a guy in a chat room that's looking for a genuine mutual masturbation experience is not going to be happy calling for a one-sided, basically a business transaction. Some of them don't mind. Some of them are just looking to get off, and they're not calling to listen to a woman masturbate. That's not the goal of most people that call a phone sex line. It really is not. But a guy in a chat room is not going to be wanting to worry about every minute the rate is going up every minute. The, you know, he's thinking with his wallet, he's got his eye on the clock. If they're in a chat room, they just want to have a nice leisurely conversation with somebody with no worries of time, no worries of money, somebody that's genuinely masturbating with them. And you're not going to get that on a paid business call. They're very different animals, believe me.
And are people finding, like, each other in equal ratios? Like, I definitely have found in some of the chat rooms that, like, I've personally seen, like, maybe a gender discrepancy, like, the number of people that go into the room that identify themselves as female. Obviously, you can't always tell, and you could certainly say you are whomever you would like to say. Are people finding each other in equal numbers, or who's showing up?
On any site like that, there's always going to be more men than women. That's just the reality of the internet. There really is no way around it that that's how it's going to be. Fortunately, we have found from the statistics of the members, granted, like you said, we have no actual proof of the women being actual women, it's only around 5% more men. So
wow.
The statistics on my site seem to be more even than they are on a lot of others. Sometimes in the chat room, it is mainly men with a couple of women. There have been times when there's more women in there than men. Sometimes it is fairly even. So it varies. It really varies. But we're pretty happy with the even split that there is.
So how do you think that you cultivated that? Is it the nature of the audio? Because there's certainly, you know, a perception that you know, the written stuff, the audio stuff might have an appeal to women that perhaps visual things don't necessarily, or, you know, some component of that. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
I definitely think it does. I think there are a lot more women that are into reading the erotica than men. And of course, I want the site to be extra attractive to women, because if you bring the women, the men will follow. There's no doubt about that. So I want to make the site as appealing to women as possible. A lot of people are surprised when they learn it's a woman owner that owns a site like that, because most owners of adult websites are men. I want to make women feel welcome. The pink color scheme is, I wouldn't say it's necessarily overly feminine, but it certainly makes a woman feel comfortable rather than some dark color website that seems to be more masculine looking. The site actually has a larger than normal population of bi and lesbian users. So I know that the lady liking ladies are quite comfortable there, because we have a healthy population of them. Some of the guys will complain lots of times in chat, oh yeah, there's half women in here, but they're all looking for other women. And that can be the case. It definitely can. There's a lot of female friendly ladies there.
So for you, the audio components, is that particularly meaningful? Like, is that a thing that you personally like a whole lot, or is it just that, like, you're good at it? What is the appeal?
It's both. I'm not a visual person. I don't watch porn. The only time I ever watch porn is if a client wants me during a call. A few times a year, they'll say, can you watch this clip with me at the same time? It's, okay, I'll watch it. But I never watch porn for my own enjoyment. It's just not something that I get enjoyment from. But audios, I don't listen to other people's audios other than to screen them to make sure that they're okay before posting them, that ones have submitted. But I very much enjoy making recordings. I honestly enjoy making recordings more than I do the phone sex calls. I just really enjoy it. I know that these recordings will live on a lot longer than I will. Once a call is over, that's it. There's no record of it, no recording of it. It's done. But a recording, once it is made, it'll be floating around somewhere for the rest of existence, I'm sure. So I very much enjoy making the recordings. I try and do other voice work as well, even non-adult work. I'm trying to branch out into that as well. So the recordings, a lot of people really like that we have the recordings on the site. I just wish that we had more people that contributed quality recordings. Unfortunately, most people don't have the experience with making recordings that I do. Obviously, most people have not made hundreds of recordings and get paid for professional voice work. So I know I can't hold other people up to the same standards, but it's hard not to. there are a few people that do contribute quality audios, and I'm very grateful for that. Most of the ones on the site are mine, but a lot of the people that do contribute, it's like there's a handful of people that contribute a fair bit, and then the odd person here and there will contribute one that's a bit odd. But I try and be fair and put stuff up so that people will have a variety of things. But a lot of people really like that, and I want to enhance that. That's why I've started to get into making our own website podcast. Last month we started. We've done, I don't know, about six of them so far. So I really want to enhance the audio of the site to attract people that are into that, because it's not something a ton of sites have.
That, yeah, it's definitely something that I don't just randomly come across. The internet generally is so visually focused, mm-hmm. and you know, it's pictures. Videos aren't necessarily of the highest audio quality, because a lot of videos that end up on the internet are taken on phones, which mm-hmm. ironically aren't the best for capturing audio. But like, it definitely is a real component of arousal, and like it's a very significant sense in terms of experiencing something sexual, because, you know, it's not just visual when you get together with a person in real life, and like the sounds are important, just as like
absolutely
the smells and tactile stuff is. Mm-hmm. And is it just that it's difficult to capture, that it requires like technology that most people don't have, or are we just like not trained in audio? What is our problem?
Well, I wasn't the most technically gifted person when I got into it, and I have figured them out. Most computers, if you're using a laptop, have a built-in ability to record. I wouldn't recommend using just the microphone in the computer. A USB mic, at the very least, is what people should be using. But it really isn't that difficult once you get the hang of it. And because we do have a handful of people that regularly are contributing quality audios, obviously they're able to figure it out and do it. So other people just need to practice a little bit, realize how to do the quality aspect, and then start submitting them. But it really is porn for your ears, the audio. One of our most regular members is totally blind. I don't know how the devil that poor guy figures things out, but I have to take my hat off to him, because he's there. He goes in the chat. He sends inbox messages. I guess they have that screen reader program mm-hmm. that the blind yeah. people use, and he really does well. I have to give him a lot of credit. And I have had other people over the years that have found my audios on places email me. Several. I can think of a handful of blind guys, and they have emailed me and told me how much my audios meant to them, because they're not able to even watch porn because they can't see. But they can hear. Yeah. And that really is touching to me. It's like, it never even occurred to me until I started getting a few of these emails from these guys. There's actually blind people out there that are listening to these audios, and this is the only porn that they have. Hmm. And it really was touching.
Hmm. I'm wondering if another facet of what keeps people from making this, because I think that like an average person is more likely to make, you know, some sort of their foray into amateur porn is more likely to be visual. They're more likely to take a selfie naked mm-hmm. or let someone take a picture of them naked or whatever, that sort of thing. Because I'm curious if the audio piece is more vulnerable, like if they're revealing more of their internal self by putting out there what's inside their heads and, you know, their emotional stuff and like what your kink is and really revealing who you are as a sexual being, because the verbal component has much more to do with your brain and the visual piece is just what you look like.
I think that's an excellent point. They are very revealing. I've had many people email me and say, oh, wow, you could hear the emotion in your voice on this one. You could tell that this was from the heart. And you don't even consider or contemplate that until other people are saying it back to you. It's like they're a real mirror of what that audio is. The visual stuff, I would not be posting naked pictures of myself online that would live forever and have people knowing my real name and everything. Oh, no, no, no. I could not do that. With an audio, even though it's very vulnerable, by revealing your innermost thoughts and the sounds of yourself having orgasms, there's still that veil of anonymity because there's no visual. That's not to say I never share my real picture with somebody. I certainly do, but not everybody. I don't have that desire. I don't need to go plastering it all over the place. There's no need for that. There's a lot of myself revealed in the audios.
I think it's also a little bit of my understanding of like why, you know, sexting, for instance, is incredibly popular, is that it also is a really quick way to get validation and someone finds you attractive. So, you know, I send a picture and then, you know, I get back like, yeah, great. You know, and I'm a kid and I'm like, this is affirmation that I am sexually attractive. And again, it's just entirely focused on physical appearance. It has nothing to do with the experience of you as a sexual being. Like, it doesn't really necessarily give someone an idea of what it would be like to experience, you know, sexual activity with someone. The audio component is going to be, you get through the timing, through the pacing, through the particular focus, the things that you talk about the most, you're going to get more of an idea of like how you actually are, like when it gets down to it. I think that you can hear the awkwardness, you can hear like the passion, you can feel the confidence, those sort of things, in a much more nuanced way than a picture could communicate.
Oh, I totally agree. Absolutely. You can really reveal a lot of yourself by your voice, the way you sound. That's not to say that everybody with a beautiful voice is a fantastic person. I can guarantee you that's not the case. I can think of probably the phone partner I had that had the most beautiful voice of any of them was borderline dangerous psychotic.
Oh, wow.
That's a whole other story, believe me. But somebody can have a beautiful voice and be cuckoo, absolutely. And somebody could have a very unpleasant voice and probably be a very lovely person. So you can't tell everything from a voice,
yeah,
but it definitely gives you an idea of, am I attracted to this person? Do I want to have phone sex with them because of the way they sound? It's very, very rare that I have ever asked phone partners for their picture, even ones that I've had for several years. I don't feel the need for that.
So what is an attractive voice to you? What are the features? How would you coach someone into having a sexier voice?
I have quite an unusual taste in voices, as anybody that knows me would say. They would definitely agree with that. I know that most women like a deep, masculine voice. That's the antithesis of what I like. I like a higher, sweet, non-deep voice. I have on my site of recording, Sexy Chat with Sharon, I even have on there an absolute description and three celebrity examples of who's in the voice range that I find attractive.
You have to tell us who these are. Who are they?
Well,
who are they?
Adam Levine.
Whoa, okay.
Justin Timberlake.
All right.
And Jesse Eisenberg.
All right.
It's not that I have a thing for any of those celebrities. I don't. It's just that they all have voices that are in that range that I find very appealing. It's a thinner, higher voice.
Okay. And I mean, what does it mean when somebody has that voice? What is the feeling that it evokes in you?
It's kind of odd, because if somebody doesn't have a deep authoritative voice, they sound more non-threatening to me. And yet the thing about my phone partners is I like it if they're dominant. So it's like I like them to sound not dominant, but the way that they talk, I want to be dominant. It's very, very paradoxical, I realize. It's very strange.
Yeah, attraction doesn't have to make any sense.
Make sense, believe me. It makes anything but, yes.
It's really exciting to me that you have identified that you've figured out that pattern, because I don't know if most people have thought about, to that degree, that specificity, what really gets them off in terms of, you know, just thinking about what makes sense. And I don't really know how to bring this up other than,
it's goofy. I know
Jesse Eisenberg and The Social Network.
I didn't see the movie, but I've seen him on interviews and stuff.
And Justin Timberlake's also in that.
Oh, is
like,
he? Oh,
okay. So you really need to see this movie because it's like you're starting a social network for people. And ultimately, you're going to hopefully get your own Jesse Eisenberg and Justin Timberlake. That would be beautiful.
Oh, gosh. I know it's kind of goofy. It really is. And it's so specific. I can't even tell you how many people that I've chatted with that have said, were you ever abused by a man with a deep, authoritative voice? It's like, no, not at all. I was never abused by anybody. And they're like, well, why do you dislike it so? I could understand if you were abused by somebody that had that type of a voice, that's what you want to avoid. It's like, no, I swear, I never was abused by anybody. It's just that type of voice. It, to me, it's like I think of a school principal, you know, with a deep, authoritative voice. And it's like, I don't want somebody to sound like that. That's not arousing to me. And these guys will message me, like, oh, I have a really deep, sexy voice, baby. It's like, I'm sorry you didn't read my profile. That's the opposite of what I'm looking for. And it's kind of odd, I know.
No, I mean, I think it's interesting because, like, this is a... You know, this is the nature of, we have these sort of societal expectations, like women like this, men like this. And then there's, you know, there's all these guys who are like, you know, I like a different thing, you know, and hey, I'm over here. And it's, you know, the same thing that you're talking about, which is like, you're going to have to actively not only identify that and put that out there as your preference, but then, you know, that specificity means that not only it's going to be harder to find people who work for that, but then when you find them, it's like so much better. So have you found your Jesse Eisenberg who will dominate you? Like, do you have several? Do you
have,
like,
several times. And the thing that pisses me off more than anything is when I find a partner that's ideal and they only want to play a few times and they bugger off and I never hear from them again. That drives me insane because it's like I work so hard to find these boys and it's like I finally find them and they disappear, or else they're as scarce as hen's teeth and I only get them a couple times a year, kind of a thing. It's very unfortunate and bizarre. And of course, the ones that have voices that I couldn't care less if I ever heard them again, them I can have any time. But the ones that drive me crazy, I don't get that often, or else they're very short but sweet couplings, and then they disappear into the night. It's it's kind of ironic and sad. Like I said, yeah, the one that had the best voice was cuckoo.
And how does this, like, play out in your life outside of play? Like, when you're dating somebody or looking to partner, like, is this, like, a significant part of it, or... Does this have any sort of interaction with your life otherwise?
No, I haven't been involved with anybody since I've gotten into this business 6 years ago. Phone is the only fun that I get, unfortunately.
Oh, interesting. Is that an active choice, or are you...
Well, I'm so business oriented. I am so busy trying to build my business, my little mini adult entertainment empire that I run from my broken down bedroom chair. I'm so busy with that. I don't really have time for outside activities. A lot of people in adult entertainment, I hate to use the term shut in. There's a lot of people in adult that are, how about they're reclusive? That's a better adjective. Okay. There's a lot of recluses in adult entertainment.
That makes sense for a lot of reasons. Not the
a
least,
lot of hermits.
Yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself out there in a very specific way. And, I mean, there's certainly something to be said for, like, when you put so much out there for public consumption, you want to retain something of your own life that's not.
Yes, that is part of it for sure. But a lot of people in adult entertainment get into it because it is something that you can, for the most part, do from home. Obviously, porn stars aren't working from home. They have to go to studios and all these types of things. But a lot of women that are phone sex operators and cam girls and people that are into web design, and a lot of things that, a lot of something that people wouldn't know is there's a lot of phone sex operators that are fairly decent at web design. And they started doing it for their own websites and pages, and then other girls would hire them. They'd say, oh, well, who did your page? Oh, you did yours? Well, will you do mine? There's a lot of girls that are into web design, and there's a lot of different aspects. Writing, I do paid writing as well. There's all these different things in adult where people tend to want to stay at home. I got into this because I wanted to be at home.
Okay. I am going to change gears just a little bit because we've gotten really into discussing this, but we need more specifics. Could I convince you, would you be interested in giving us a sampling? I know that you have, for instance, one about dentists that got you some fan mail.
From actual dentists, that's right. I had had this fantasy. A lot of my stories that I write began as a fantasy. And I had gone to this dentist since I was a little kid. And he owned the practice and his wife was the assistant. And I never have gone to them in many years. I changed practices many years ago. But I always had this root of this fantasy. I don't know why, because I wasn't attracted to either of them. It's just sort of the scenario that this little dental office that they had was in a little house. And it was only the two of them that worked there. And something in my mind just twisted and perverted this little scenario into a very naughty little one. And I got this idea for this fantasy, and I put it down to paper, and I wrote it. I remember when I came up with this story, I did actually write it longhand on paper, long before I had a computer. And I recorded it and released it at one of the other story sites that I submit at. And I was surprised at how many real dentists that are members of that site would message me and say, I've never read an erotic story about a dentist. And one of them I actually became a phone partner with because he messaged me. And he was a dentist in the South, in the States. And he was quite impressed with this story and said how much it aroused him. And we got to chatting and we had fun. There's actually two dentists, I guess, I've played with.
Right.
That read this story. I shouldn't start saying all these numbers of people I've played with. People are going to start adding things up here. But yes, the one for the dentist, it's a bit unusual because a lot of people are frightened to go to the dentist because for some people, if they don't go regularly, they're going to have pain when they go, and going to the dentist is a scary, painful thing. But this is sort of not a scary, painful story called A Trip to the Dentist.
Ooh.
And I can read this for you if you would like.
Fantastic.
And people can, the next time they go to the dentist, they can keep this little story in the back of their mind. Maybe it'll help alleviate some of the fear that they have when they go to the dentist. Okay.
Right.
Sabrina arrived early, as usual, at the dentist's. She signed all of the forms and was pleasantly ushered in. She'd noticed a few changes since her last checkup 6 months before. Some new wallpaper and paintings on the wall, some better background music than before. Even her dentist looked better, a bit more stylish than he had, and friendlier. She silently wondered what had brought forth these improvements. The dentist's wife had always been his assistant, a nice, quiet little practice. Sabrina quietly settled into the comfortable reclining chair, and then Dr. Carson asked if she was just there for a checkup or if she'd come in for the full treatment. "What's the full treatment?" she innocently inquired. Dr. Carson and his wife looked quickly at each other, awaiting Sabrina's response. "I think you'll like the full treatment. It's fairly new. No charge for our preferred long-time patients like you." "So we're going for the full treatment then?" Dr. Carson asked. "Sure, I'll try it," she responded. Mrs. Carson closed the door and locked it. Sabrina wondered what on earth was going to happen, but she'd known and trusted them both for years, so she felt safe. Mrs. Carson went to the foot of the new dental chair and pulled out a pair of hidden stirrups. Sabrina was starting to get the idea. Dr. Carson put on the mask of laughing gas on her, and she inhaled deeply. She could start to feel herself getting wet. Mrs. Carson pushed up Sabrina's skirt around her waist and pulled off her flowered cotton panties, and then guided her feet into the stirrups and pushed her knees apart. The laughing gas was starting to make her all relaxed and floaty feeling. Sabrina looked over at Dr. Carson and saw him unzipping his pants. He withdrew a rather large cock that was already rock hard. He started to slowly rub it rhythmically back and forth in his powerful hand while he watched his wife. Mrs. Carson raised the foot end of the chair and lowered her mouth onto Sabrina's fully exposed, dripping wet, pink, shaved pussy lips. She lapped at her juices, kissed her clit, and sucked on it, pulling it into her mouth and encircling it with her tongue, while moving two fingers in and out of Sabrina's aching for release cunt. She writhed in the chair as her pussy was worked on expertly, all while watching Dr. Carson pump his cock up and down beside her as he watched his wife. Sabrina inhaled deeply from the mask. She wasn't sure if it was a dream or real. She only knew she didn't want it to stop. Sabrina was halfway to her zenith when Dr. Carson offered her his cock that was already glistening with pre-cum. She opened her mouth and licked at its salty head, flicking its eye back and forth and swirling its head with her tongue. She placed his hand on the back of her head and forced her to take its entire length down her throat. Sabrina was so relaxed and feeling floaty from the laughing gas, she easily took it down her throat as he fucked her mouth. She moved her lips up and down the length of his shaft as she was getting fingered and licked by his wife. Dr. Carson asked his wife if she was ready. She nodded. Sabrina wondered what was next. He withdrew his cock from her mouth and went down towards his wife. Mrs. Carson climbed onto the bottom of the chair, right above Sabrina, save for a few inches. Her hardened nipples were grazing against Sabrina's face, and she unbuttoned Mrs. Carson's blouse to get at her breasts. She unhooked her bra and started sucking on one of her nipples and playing with her one breast, tweaking and pulling on her nipple. Dr. Carson pulled his wife's skirt up around her hips and pulled her panties down to her knees. He then pushed his throbbing cock into her soaking, wet pussy and fucked her hard. The dental chair and the women shaking back and forth with each powerful thrust he gave her. Sabrina could look down and see him plunging in and out of his wife. She felt left out since they hadn't finished her off yet. Mrs. Carson tensed with an orgasm and groaned loudly, almost right in Sabrina's ear. But Dr. Carson didn't come yet. Mrs. Carson climbed off of Sabrina and stepped to the side to watch the proceedings. Dr. Carson got on top of Sabrina, and his cock slid easily into her, still dripping with his wife's pussy juices. Sabrina inhaled deeply, feeling as if she were floating as she got fucked slowly and firmly. She grabbed his shoulders to pace him and turned her head to see Mrs. Carson masturbating herself to a second orgasm as she watched her husband fuck Sabrina hard. Sabrina came explosively, and then she felt Dr. Carson go off inside of her in hot, wet spurts. After he came, he pulled his cock out of her, and his wife dropped to her knees and licked Sabrina's pussy juices off of his still throbbing cock until he came a second time right down her throat as Sabrina watched and stroked herself until she came again. They were all breathing heavily and rested a moment. Mrs. Carson then unlocked the door and showed Sabrina to the ladies' room to clean up. When she emerged a few moments later, She sat back down for her cleaning, as if nothing had happened. On her way out to make her next appointment, Mrs. Carson asked if that was just going to be for another cleaning, or if it would be for another full treatment. Sabrina replied, "The full treatment, please."
Yay! I don't know, is that the appropriate reaction to clap? I don't know what one does.
Nobody's ever asked me to do a live reading like this.
Well, fabulous. Thank you. I feel honored. I guess, mm-hmm. should I be like, sploosh? Is that the appropriate thing instead of applause?
The great thing about recordings is you can edit out the little mistakes, because like I stumbled on a couple of different little words, and it's like, oh, I would edit that out if it was in a recording. A recording you can make perfect. You can edit out every little thing and redo this line or that if you muddle it up.
That was fantastic. That would be silly. It was fantastic.
I try.
Great. It was great. So people are definitely now going to want to know a little bit more about you. So where can they find out more about you, about your site, about, you know, all that kind of stuff? Where can they find out more?
Well, climaxconnection.com is my free adult community website. I'm there every day. Even if I can't have the time to get in chat, people can inbox me and they'll get a response usually within 12 hours or less. If I'm online, probably like about an hour. My paid phone sex site is erotictalkphonesex.com, and my site of recordings that many people enjoy, the over 100+ recordings that I have on there of stories that I've written, stories that other authors have asked me to read of their stories, is sexychatwithsharon.com. So those are three of my bigger sites. I have a lot of sites. I'm sure you don't want to listen to me rhyme them all off. But those are the three big ones that people seem to enjoy.
Beautiful. So everyone should obviously go check that out. This has been great because it like opens up this entirely unheralded like sense. Like this entirely untapped. Like of all the major senses, it's so incredibly important to arousal. And yet like the focus is almost always on the visual elements. And so this has been really great because it's, just a good reminder that sexuality is like multifaceted and it's only mm-hmm. limited by your creativity. It's great.
I think people do ignore the auditory sense. When people think of sex, they think visual and tactile. Those are the things they think of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's true. And like, underselling the importance of how somebody smells and tastes. And like, mm-hmm. you know, we've got other senses too. You got your balance, sense of time, whatever. That's interesting also. We could work that in somehow. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So Sharon Summers, everyone should go check out Climax Connection and listen to her audio recordings and all that kind of stuff. So thank you so much for sharing with us today. It was really awesome to be honored with a sampling.
Well, thank you so very much for having me. I really appreciate it a lot.
Yeah,
absolutely. And hopefully some of your listeners will check out at least one of the sites and get some enjoyment out of it and maybe find a masturbation partner.
Yeah, I feel like if you're listening to podcasts, you probably are down for some audio. I feel like
probably,
somebody yes. out there is like, all right, you're talking my language. Yeah, so thank you so much, Sharon Summers. And thank you so much for joining us for our delightful holiday of Smutmas. We don't know if that's a hashtag yet, but if it is, definitely send out your Smutmas gratitude to the world. The erotic and delightful sexy things for which you are grateful this Smutmas. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your ratings on iTunes. Thank you for your messages. We always appreciate those things. So if you want to hit me up, sexwithtimory@gmail.com, definitely consider leaving a review on iTunes. You can tweet at me @Timory_Leigh, L-E-I-G-H. As always, thank you for listening. We very much appreciate you. Happy Smutmas and have a good day.
The Sexuality in Communities Oral History Project, or SCOPE, is a Philadelphia-based storytelling project collecting tales of individuals' sexual identities and how they came about finding or establishing a sense of community. We're looking to chronicle individual journeys of sexual discovery and collective histories of sexuality-based communities like the LGBTQ+ community, Q kink and BDSM communities, poly, queer, leather, trans, asexual, intersex communities, and more. Currently, we're running our Indiegogo campaign to raise funds for the equipment and supplies that we need to get started. Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/scohp to find our Indiegogo and see how you can contribute. We thank you for all of your time and consideration.
Hey, you. Do you like patriarchy? Do you like the opposite of patriarchy? Do you ever find yourself patriarchal when you least expect it, like touching someone's knee without their consent? I know I have. Join me in my audio quest to forge a feminist queer landscape of people in context. Good, bad, collapsing the construction that good and bad exist in opposition. Humble Mumbles. It's a podcast. Now available on Bandcamp and iTunes.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.